Generation of struggles in today's America calls for a new generation's solutions. Solutions that reflect millennial impatience with the pace of social change during their lifetime. Patrice Cullors, co-founder of Black Lives Matter, was born long after the civil rights movement and the passage of federal equal rights legislation, and has seen the ways in which Dr. King's dream has fallen short. We spoke about the reasons the country needed Black Lives Matter.
I think for many of us, we were longing for something that spoke to our generation's suffering, our generation's neglect, and the impact that state violence and policing and surveillance and court systems had on our communities and our families. And so Black Lives Matter really comes at a moment where many of us have been calling out our local governments, our national governments. Many of us are highly disappointed in the promise of Obama, the hope of Obama. And Black Lives Matter becomes a clarifying moment. It becomes this sort of searing light. And it doesn't just call Black folks into action, it calls all of us into action.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this moment really called for Black Lives Matter because it had been, multiple decades after the Black Power Movement, multiple decades after the Chicano Power Movement, the American Indian Movement. And for many of us and our generation, especially those of us who were trained as organizers, we were sort of given this movement and gifted this movement to transform it, change it, and evolve it.
The experience of your parents' generation, your grandparents' generation, there perhaps was a moment in the 60s and 70s when your parents' generation had some reason to hope, at least some laws were changed. Was this that hope damaged, destroyed? Did it go away?
Well, my parents were born in the 60s, and so didn't really get to experience the sort of height of a civil and human rights movement. Instead, it's the tail end of their youth. My mother had me at a young age. My father had me at a young age. So it's the tail end of their youth where they start to see the ramping up of the war on drugs and the war on gangs. And I think it's our generation that's raised in that ramping up, and that looks like militarized policing. That looks like, living in a time where in 40 years our incarceration goes from 700,000 people to 2.3 million people. And so we are living in a moment of the consequences of a challenge against people fighting for their survival.
Do you think that the Black Power movement of the 60s and 70s was systematically undermined?
Definitely. We know now that it was 100% systematically impacted and demised. I mean, I know so much now about COINTELPRO, about, FBI agents coming in and infiltrating the Black Panther Party.
Let's define that, COINTELPRO, for our listeners.
Yeah, well, COINTELPRO was an actual program created and developed by the CIA, in which they brought in infiltrators to disrupt and dismantle powerful groups such as the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, are still learning about people who they either, were best friends with or married and had children with, who were agents of the state.
Really, really deep cover spying.
Yes.
On America's Black population.
Yes.
Specifically on its activist population.
Yeah, and there's always been a history of undermining Black people who are fighting for their freedom. I mean, I think in our most contemporary sense, we all now know about the Black Identity Extremist report that was that label created by the FBI, calling people who are part of the Black Lives Matter movement Black Identity Extremist, and being able to charge them with things like terrorism. Black Lives Matter was called a terrorist organization. So we're sort of living in this moment, and we've seen it before, And we have much more information about surveillance of black communities than we did during that time. And so I think we're more prepared to deal with it, but it's still deeply challenging to deal with a system that is funneled millions and millions of dollars.
You referred earlier to the disappointment of the Obama years. Was this part of that? Was this happening in the Obama years?
Yes. Trayvon was killed during the Obama years. Mike Brown was killed. Ayanna Stanley Jones was killed. Megan Hockaday was killed. And the list goes on and on. And we think, you know, although I understand the levels of resistance Obama and his administration received, I still believe that he could have pushed further, both domestically and internationally.
He probably got to be president by being somewhat cautious about race.
Of course.
Fair to say?
Yes, and I think every moment in which he dared to be black publicly, he was shamed for it.
He was chastised,
exactly. And so he became more strategic, which meant positioning himself against black activism.
It's not the first time in the history of African Americans that leaders found it necessary to be, as you described it, more strategic, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of compromises to be made, and you know, each generation has been a little bit critical of earlier generations in terms of the compromises they made. Fair to say?
Agreed. Absolutely agreed. And I mean, that's natural evolution. I think for us, when we came on the scene as Black Lives Matter, it was a lot of black women. Most of us are queer, you know, visibly wearing tattoos, or very different generation of a generation that is, you know, that has been bent on kind of gender norms, you know, women wear dresses and
lady-like.
Men wear suits, exactly. And we did not fit that. And so I think there was a lot of backlash about who we were and what we were doing and if we knew what we were doing.
Within the community.
Yeah, within our community and specifically from the old guard. And there's been a lot of headway that's been made. I'm not saying that's everywhere, but in general, there's been a lot of headway that's been made with the old guard and the new guard, and I think that that's important.
What kind of backlash from the old guard? What were some of the things that you would hear?
Oh, we didn't know what we were doing. We had no direction. We were going to not last long. A lot of undermining that was definitely undertones of misogyny and sexism. And it seemed like, for some of them, not everyone, a deep desire to shoo us away.
You know, you mentioned misogyny and sexism, and even back in the civil rights era was, you know, even those on the left didn't really think about it at the time, but it was a very sort of male-dominated movement. The girls went and got coffee.
Totally.
Right? And it's a reminder that we don't move, in terms of social progress, we don't move on every front an equal direction at the same time.
That's exactly right. I think in this moment, though, we've seen leaps and bounds when it comes to challenging gender-based violence. And whether that was from Black Lives Matter, three black women, you know, all of us, you know, call ourselves feminists, and really, you know, reminding people that black women have always been at the helm of social movements and that we're not going anywhere. I think without Black Lives Matter, there wouldn't be a Women's March, there wouldn't be a Me Too movement, there wouldn't be a March for Our Lives. Really laid the foundation for how we fight.
And you're linking yourselves to a tradition in black America, aren't you?
We definitely are. We're part of a long legacy of black people who have fought for our freedom from the very moment that we were brought here from the shore, on the shores of this country. And I think it's, you know, for many of us, it's an honor to be a part of this movement and to see ourselves as a part of a legacy.
I think there's a strength that comes from being rooted in history.
I absolutely agree. Part of, you know, growing up in America, the unfortunate part is how much America has divorced itself from its history. And that's on purpose. And I think our work is to remind people, not just inside the states, but around the world, that America's past is bloody and it's brutal. And there's always been people at the margins fighting for their freedom.
Black Lives Matter co-founder Patrice Cullors was in Hawaii last week to share her newly released book, When They Call You a Terrorist, a Black Lives Matter memoir.